Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You can start the other one too? Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficial knowledge that brings us closer to Him and His Prophet, gives us a deeper understanding of our deen, gives us an understanding of the reality of this life and the reality of the next life, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask You to guide our hearts, Ya Allah, and make this a beneficial gathering for us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh, we ask You, Ya Allah, for Your love, the love of those actions that will gain Your love, and the love of those people who You love, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay, so before we had our break for Thanksgiving, we were going over the section of Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah ta'ala's Masalik al-Jinan, where he speaks about the a'da'ul insan. A'da'ul insan, yani the enemies to our spiritual progress, the enemies to insan. And he said, what are the four enemies? What was the acronym that he gave us to help us remember? Nashhadu. Nashhadu, yes. So the noon stood for your nafs, right? That inner child that just wants more, 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 more. Nash is for noon. Nashhadu, the sheen, is for shaitan. And so we talked about, the tricks that shaitan uses to throw us off track. Subhanallah, someone reached out to me. I don't know if you saw on Instagram, but someone reached out. They made an infographic of the thing we were studying. You know what I'm saying? So they made like an infographic of all the seven steps that shaitan uses. And so like our gatherings coming together here like are not only beneficial for ourselves, but other people benefit from that as well. So Allah's blessed us to be able to study these things together. You know what I'm saying? So the sheen was shaitan. The ha? Hawa. The ha was for hawa. And hawa is similar to nafs, but it just means more like the desires, right? If those desires aren't controlled and if the desires are controlling you, then your spiritual welfare is at jeopardy. You won't be able to really go on this track because the hawa, the desires, will be controlling you. And we talked about how the ideal situation is that your aqal, your intellect, and the revelation are controlling the desires, not the desires controlling you, right? And the last one, dunya, man. Dunya, right? And, dunya literally means like this worldly life. But the literal translation of dunya is from daniyun, which means the closest thing to you, dani. And so what we learn is like the believer learns how to delay gratification for a greater gratification. And so Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba in our last class, he was specifically speaking about this dunya and how we should have the mindset that less is more. Less is more. And how gaining more, more, more dunya is not going to fill a void. And what's really interesting about the time that we live in, guys, is, if it wasn't for so much, marketing, if it wasn't for Facebook tracking my text messages, then I would be okay. But the moment I mention something, the next thing I know, the advertisements are coming at me. The advertisements, and the crazy thing about advertising is the creation of a desire that you don't even have. The creation of the feeling for a need, that I need this thing. But 20 minutes before I saw this ad, I didn't need it. But now all of a sudden, gotta have it. Can't do without it. I need it. I must have it. And that desire is in us, and then the moment we buy it, buyer's remorse, I don't even need it no more. The moment I buy it, buyer's remorse, I'm good, I don't even need it. But at that moment, I felt like I needed it so bad. So understanding this lesson for us as millennial Muslims, realizing that
The nature of the dunya is that it's going to keep... I posted something recently which was saying, like, the economy doesn't like happiness. You know what that means? If you're content with what you have, the market's going to crash. The economy doesn't like your happiness, but rather the economy loves for you to want more. Want more. Like, you know, I still got iPhone 7. My wife won't let me upgrade, but you know what I mean. But no joke, the question is, do you need a new phone, right? Do you need a new pair of kicks, right? Do you need a new whip, right? That's the thing. So the economy doesn't love your happiness, because if you're content, you're not buying no more. You don't upgrade every year. And so one of the things we need to realize, though, in our hearts, is that those purchases aren't going to buy that contentment that you think it's going to give you. And we really, I know we say it a lot, but we really got to embed it within ourselves that no matter how much I purchase, I'm not going to purchase that inner fulfillment that I think I'm going to get through it. So he has a few more lines for us today regarding the dunya. And as I was reading some of these lines of Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, it brought me to tears, man, because one thing I love about Islam, guys, is how it just changes your perspective on life. Like, after being in the matrix so long, every now and then you want to get out. You know what I mean? You want to get out of the matrix for a minute and see what reality is. And when someone like Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba speaks these haq, this truth, it's like a breath of fresh air. So let's read a bit, inshallah. I'm not just going to be a hype man for him, but let's read it, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala Shaykhuna. ثم الكفاف ها هنا أفضل من فقر ومن غنى لدفء ما يئن. He says, ثم الكفاف ها هنا أفضل. He says, then understand in this dunya, كفاف. The word كفاف in Arabic means enough. كافي, like enough. So he says, ثم الكفاف ها هنا, in this dunya, كفاف, enough, is afdalu, is better. Better for you, min faqrin, than poverty, wa min ghinan, liyadfa ma ya'in, to push away whatever concerns you. What is he saying here? He's saying, the believer, remember, Islam is all about the middle path, finding balance between the extremes. And so Islam doesn't have this extreme where be poor, that's good. But rather, and it doesn't have the extreme where be rich, right? But rather, the ideal is to find that balance. And so what he says is the balance is one word, it's called kafaf. And that means it's enough. So what is he saying here? All of us should not be looking for more. But what we should be looking for? Enough. Enough. Now here's the deal. The nafs may play you though. You know what I'm saying? The nafs may play you like, nah, we need more. We need more. Let's see what he says about that though. وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَىٰ إِنْ يَكُنْ شَكُورٍ يَفُقْ عَلَى ذِفَاقَةٍ كَانَ سَبُورٍ وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَىٰ. He says, now the Sharia is beautiful because wealth has an ability to help society. Naturally, wealth has an ability to help society. So from our Sharia, what the Prophet ﷺ taught us is وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَىٰ, the person who has wealth, إِنْ يَكُنْ شَكُورٍ, with the condition that that person is grateful. That person is grateful. Shakir, yafuq ala dhifaqatin. That person is superior than the one in poverty. Kana sabur, hu sabir. So there's two states we're always oscillating between. The state of gratitude and the state of patience. Right? Like that's based on the hadith, that we're always oscillating between these two states. One state, everything is cool. Everything's going good. At that state, the test is what? Shukr, right there. You got to realize the shukr in that moment. But everything doesn't always stay like that. It switches up quick. That's dunya. So the moment that things start getting rough, then what is the test at that time? Sabr. But here's the deal. Which one is better according to the Sharia? To be someone in peace and afia with shukr, or someone in hardship with sabr? The one that has the bounties, the blessings, but is grateful for them. But here's the thing, Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَشْكُرُ. What is the ayah? الشُّكُورُ. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي الشُّكُورُ. Allah says, ah, you think that you're going to... The Sahaba said, you know, we passed the test of sabr. Like, the Sahaba went through really hard times. It was really tough. And they're like, we got through that. Like the fasting, you know, stones on their stomach to make it feel like they had food in them, like sweating in that heat. They're like, yo, we passed it. Then they would cry when they saw all of the money coming because they were like, yo, we passed the test of sabr, but this test of shukr is no joke. The test of shukr is a test indeed. So he says, but the deen, he says, وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَىٰ. If you're a person with the wealth, then that wealth could be good for you. But you have to create within you this quality of being grateful for it. And that gratitude is what secures the blessing, by the way. This gratitude is what secures the blessing based on the Quranic verses.
وَكُنْ لَدَ أَخْذِكَ قُوتًا مِثْلَ مَنْ يُضْطَرُّ لِلْمِيتَةِ مِنْهَا فِي الزَّمَنِ.
He says, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, in this one bait, this one stanza, he's teaching us how our relationship should be with what we take from the dunya. What I mean by what we take is what we indulge in, what we go after. And so, regarding things that are halal, like this is halal for you to have, he says, وَكُنْ لَدَ أَخْذِكَ قُوتًا. And when you're reaching out for your daily sustenance, be like the person مُضْطَرًا لِلْمَيْتَةِ. So check this. In Sharia, right? So, like, you know, like, okay, we can't eat pork, for example, right? I mean, everybody know that, right? Yo, move in. Move in, bismillah. So, like, we can't eat pork, for example, right? But if a person, or drink alcohol, right? But if a person is put in a dire scenario, what does the Quran say? Like they're about to die. Yeah, they can eat as much as just to keep them alive. Like at that point, the Sharia says preserving your life is the awla thing to do, the more preferable thing to do in that scenario. But even the scholars say, but when you do that, it's not like, oh, word? Like, yo, we grubbing, yo. I always wanted to try the bacon, so let's go at it. They always talk about this bacon. It ain't even that good, y'all, straight up, yo. No, ain't even that good, yo. All right, so, no, but so one could be like, oh, we can do it, so go after it. He goes, no, what does Sharia say? Sharia says, when you do are allowed, you only take enough just to keep your life. You're only take. So what he says now, once you understand that example, he says, as you're reaching out for your dunya, treat it the same way almost. What's he trying to say is don't just go after all of it. Take what you need. Take what you need and then keep going. Take what you need and keep going. So what does he say? He says, وَكُنْ لَدَ أَخْذِكَ قُوتًا مِثْلَ مَنْ يُضْطَرُّ لِلْمِيتَةِ مِنْهَا فِي الزَّمَنِ. He says, and be a person who when they're taking their daily provision, what they need, like a person forced to eat dead meat, haram meat. Just take what you need. Like, I gotta have this to keep going. And that's it. Remember, the believer eats to live, right? Like the whole foodie. I'm not trying to hate on foodies. Like it's okay, cool, whatever, you know. But like, we don't live to eat, right? Like, cause we got a higher purpose. Like it's cool, right? But that's a shallow objective in life, right? And I'm not trying to hate on all the shows. People traveling all over the world, tasting food at different places, whatever. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but. But I'm trying to say like it's not a purpose objective of life. Like we don't make that a purpose of life. Life has a higher purpose than that. So when we're taking it, it's like I have a job to do. Bismillah, fadda, sharafna. I have a job to do, and this food is distracting me from my real purpose. Right? This food is distracting me from my real purpose. The more time I'm spending on this food is less time I'm spending what? Actually going after my true purpose, what I'm here for. You know what I mean? It's just like, never mind, forget it. Let's go.
وَكَمُسَافِرٍ غَرِيبٍ سُجِينَا وَكَمُسَافِرٍ غَرِيبٍ سُجِينَا فِيهَا وَلَا تَشُكْ وَلَا تَشْكُ أَفْوَنْ وَلَا تَشْكُ الْبَلَايَ وَالْمِهَنَا إِذْ قَدْرَاتُهَا كَفَقْرٍ وَمَرَضْ وَكُلُّ مَا مِنْ رَزِيَّاتِ الْأَرَضِ.
It's beautiful. The perspective that we have on the objective of life and what this dunya is a cure to much of the psychological trauma that we go through and society goes through. Listen to what he says next. He says, and be like the traveler, gharib, away from home, sujina. What's sujina? In prison. He's like, your mind state at this point, right now, your mind state is like musafir. Who's a musafir? Traveler, be like the musafir, gharib. What's gharib mean? I'm not at home. I'm like a traveler, not at home. And then he added another thing, sujina. I'm in the sijin. Y'all know what sijin is? All right. Aki? No, whatever. Aki? Sujina. Listen, look at these three things. If you were to treat this life as if you're a traveler, if you were to treat this life as if you're not home yet, if you were to treat this life like I'm in prison right now, yo, who, like, if you're in the cell, you're just like, I got to get through this. I got to do my bid, man. Like, I'm not trying to, like, make my prison cell like this. This ain't home. And the craziest thing about realizing that ad-dunya sijinul mu'min, that's the Prophet's words. Ad-dunya sijinul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. The Prophet ﷺ was like, this dunya is a prison for the believer. To me, that's a powerful hadith. Because when you see other people indulging and getting everything or going after everything they want to go after, then you're like, yo. But this hadith right now, this hadith is a paradigm shifter. A dunya sijinul mu'min. Your methodology is like, I'm not home right now. When I get home, oh, we chilling. It's going to be lit. It's going to be that, but that's home there. Right now, I'm just traveling through the airport. That's it. Right now, I'm just traveling through the airport. And at the airport, I'm not going to set up shop. I ain't even going to shop at all. It's too expensive. Real. وَكَمُسَافِرٍ غَرِيبٍ سُجِنَا. So three attributes to remember. I'm a traveler. غَرِيبٍ. I'm not at home. When I get home, I'm going to see the beloved, yo. I'm going to see the one I love the most. I'm going to see those close people to me. And I told you last time, when Bilal was dying, radiallahu anh, he's on his deathbed and his wife is like, wa karaba. And he's like, wa faraha. Ghadan Muhammadan wa hizba. He's like, she's like, oh, this is horrible. He's like, oh, delight. Tomorrow I meet my crew. Tomorrow I go home. So what I'm trying to say is, as young Muslims, you really have to remind yourself on a daily basis, I'm not at home right now. Because the moment you take this as home, watch what happens next. He says, fiha. He says, وَلَا تَشْكُ الْبَلَايَ وَالْمِحَنِ. He's like, don't complain about the hardships and the trials you go through. Don't complain. لَا تَشْكُ. Why? إِذْ قَدْرَاتُهَا. Because all of the murkiness and the dirt of this dunya, كَفَقْرٍ وَمَرْضٍ, like your poverty, your sickness, and all of the calamities, ard. He says it's temporal. It's passing. The word ard means it's short. It's not permanent. That's a heavy word. That's a paradigm shifter. And the reason I say that is because when you're going through a hardship, and I mentioned this last week, when we're going through hardship, it will seem unbearable unless you realize this is temporal. It's only a short time. Once you realize, so our coach, we were in jiu-jitsu, right? They have like 7-minute rounds, right? And the rounds are like mad intense, right? Like you're dead tired, okay? But one of the things you keep doing is when you're in any sport like this, you could probably relate it to any sport, you keep looking at the clock. You know what I'm saying? So like when you got like 2 minutes left, you're like, it's only 2 minutes left, and you keep pushing. So then one day the coach, he left the clock off. And everybody's looking, and the clock's not on. And he's like, see, I did that on purpose. Because psychologically, when you see the time limit, you could put up with hardships for that time limit. But when you don't see the time limit, it's like, how long am I going to have to deal with this? Now apply that to dunya. When you know you're in a hardship, right? Things ain't going the way it's supposed to be. And by design, that is dunya. By design, dunya is not supposed to feel good because you're not supposed to feel at home here. Like, airport is only supposed to be so comfortable. That's the most it could get because you're just traveling through. So So the methodology that he's trying to teach us here is once you realize that it's limited, now your ability to patiently endure through it is easier. Is easier. So he says,
أول ملمات أو البلايا كالجوع والضيق كالضراء.
He's like, in all of the hardships, all the calamities, hunger, like money's tight, all of these things. He says, now this is where Muslims are completely different. He goes,
فَإِنَّهُ نِعْمَةٌ ذِي الْجَلَالِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ قَالَهُ دَيَالِ.
He says all of these things, hardship, poverty, difficulty, just hardship you go through. You know what he says?
فَإِنَّهُ نِعْمَةٌ.
It's a blessing from Allah. For the believer, like when you say that at first, you're like, what? What do you, what? Like if someone was, you're going through hardship and they're like, yo, mashallah. You're like, yo, can you like make dua for me? Like, so to be real, you never like tell someone like, mashallah, like you're supposed to alleviate that. But for your own psychology, like for your brain and you're going through the hardship, this is how you should be thinking. Now, how is it a blessing? He has to explain that to us. He says,
فَإِنَّهُ نِعْمَةٌ ذِي الْجَلَالِ.
He's like, all of these hardships, again, don't tell someone going through hardship, like, you blessed. Like, yo, you can't, like, empathize with the pain I'm going through? This is for yourself. This is for you dealing with the blessing.
فَإِنَّهُ نِعْمَةٌ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ.
This is a blessing upon you. Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba Rahimahullah. He says, لِأَنَّ مَنْ
فقده لها سكن فسيرت جنته إذ ما سكن.
He says the reason it's a blessing is because the one who doesn't have those hardships, لها سكن, they find tranquility. They get comfortable here. They get comfortable in this short temporal world. They get comfortable here.
فَسُيِّرَتْ جَنَّتَهُ.
And this becomes their Jannah. This becomes their Jannah.
إِذْ مَا سَكَنْ.
But it's not a place meant for that. It's not made for that. So now all of these luxuries are coming, one after the next. And they start to get comfortable. Comfortable. Like this, oh, this is legit. But with the problem, there's a problem. It's short. It doesn't last. It's not made for that. It's going to end. As I said in our last session, the dunya is set up in a way where anyone you love, whatever you love, it's either going to leave you or you're going to leave it by design. So what he's saying at this point is when those hardships come, it reminds you that this isn't Jannah. This ain't home. When the blessings keep coming, you're like, oh, I'm kind of, this place is legit. I like this place. Then it hits you when you're 50, 60, 70, whatever. Like, dang, I got to leave all this now.
فَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ.
فَكَانَ, he says, then, once you're comfortable here, once this becomes your Jannah,
يُكْرَهُ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ.
You don't want to meet Allah now. Wait, okay, hold on. This is heavy. We got to really, really understand this. This is really deep. Check it. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whoever loves to meet Allah, أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. Allah loves to meet that person. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهُ. Whoever dislikes meeting Allah, كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ. Allah dislikes meeting him. Now, scholars tell you that doesn't mean you love death, like you want to leave the world. No, no. It means when it's time to go, you're doing what Bilal was doing. Like, yo, let's go. I want to go see my people. You understand what I'm saying, right? You with me? So what does he say, though? But when you have constant blessings after blessings, and we ask for blessings, but we need perspective on blessings. That's the key. He's like, when the blessings keep coming, now all of a sudden, you make this the Jannah, and now you don't want to leave. Now you don't want to leave. That's problematic, because you got to leave. You got to leave. And that's why some people, when maut is coming, they're like, Bismillah. I've been waiting for you for my whole life. Where you been? It's time. And other people's like, no. Irji'uni. Let me go back. fima tarakt. Send me back to what I left behind. Because everything that I've been working for, my Jannah is over there. And now I got to leave. For us, we're like, yo, I ain't have no Jannah over there. I was broke. I was broke, man. Broke, fasting, avoiding haram. Like, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm out. I'm done. And that's the, yo, I love the perspective we have as Muslims, because it's like, dunya, yeah, I'm going to work hard while I'm here. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be happy. Da, da, da. But low key, for real, I'm not content here, man. I'm going to make it content with whatever I have. And I'm going to love my children, my wife, my people, my friends. But for real, when it's time to go, I'm out. I ain't waiting for y'all. Don't wait for me either, yo. So, but that's so beautiful. What did he say? So look at the logic. Like, Muslim logic is like, again, you're going to walk all the way back in the matrix. But for now, just be right here. Look, what did he say? The first thing, he is like, yo, all of these hardships, don't complain about them. Why? First step, it's a blessing. And you're like, what? Blessing? He's like, yeah, because it's a blessing because it reminds you, because when it keeps all these hardships come, if the hardships don't come, you get comfortable. You get comfortable. It's like, oh, this is legit. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is, I like this. He's like, then in our minds, we're all like, so what's wrong with that? That's good. He's like, uh-uh. Now, because you're so comfortable, you dislike meeting Allah. Because meeting Allah, in that case, necessitates you got to leave that stuff behind. You got to leave that behind. And you're like, I worked so hard for this house. I worked so hard for this clout. I worked so hard for all of this stuff. And now I got to leave it behind. You know how long it took to get these likes, yo? And now I got to leave it behind. So the logic is beautiful. And the perspective that Islam gives us is just really, it changes your perspective on life. فَكَانَ يَقْرَهُ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ بِبُغْضِهِ الْمَوْتَ بِلَا تَنَاهِ. He dislikes meeting Allah because he hates death. You hate death at that point. بِلَا تَنَاهِ, without any doubt. وَفِيهِ أَيْذًا اِذْتِرَارٌ وَرُجُوءٌ لِرَبِّنَا جَلَّ بِكُرْهٍ لِلْمُتِيءٍ. That's the first blessing. He's like, these hardships are a blessing and a ni'mah. We got the first reason why, that whole thing. Second reason. Here's the second reason why. He says, فِيهِ أَيْذًا اِذْتِرَارٌ وَرُجُوءٌ إِلَىٰ لِرَبِّنَا. These hardships force you to humble yourself and go back to Allah. They force you. Like, dunya by design is meant to force you back to Allah. The hardships in it are beautiful in that they make you see Allah and your need for Allah. Do you understand what that means? There are some people, amma man istaghna. There are some people like, I don't need God. I don't need Allah. And then when it gets really tough, all of a sudden then now it's like, oh, tears are coming, broken down. What am I going to do? So the point is that need or dependency on Allah through hardships is a blessing. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us that even if you run out of salt at home, ask Allah. Now, what does that mean? Hold on. In a normal society, not our society, but in a normal society, if you ran out of salt, you would go to your neighbor. Nowadays, someone knocked at my door. I told Salah, I was like, don't answer the door. I don't know who that is. It was before Halakha. I was like, nah, man, that's bad. Let me go check who it was. I went and checked. It was someone, whatever. But point, normally, if you ran out of salt, you would go to the neighbor downstairs, neighbor next door, apartment across. You just knock, hey, you got any salt? Like, they're like, yeah, of course, nothing, go ahead. But the Prophet ﷺ said, before you ask someone for something so trivial, ask Allah. Why? Because that lack of salt is a doorway to realizing your dependence on Allah. Your realizing dependence on Allah is a blessing at every moment. I'm going to say that again. The lack of salt is a need. That need, if you channel it to Allah, is your connection to Allah. Because you realize, I am weak, I need Allah. And it was through salt. So you don't need the big calamity. Because in the small ones, you realize Allah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Same thing for medicine, for sickness in general. Like before you hit up the doctor, you like, Ya Allah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You still go to the doctor. I still go to the neighbor and be like, you know what I'm saying? But it's about realizing who's the true. Yeah, it's about realizing who's the true provider. Feel me? All right, look at the next thing he says. He's still on the same point. He says, فَخَيْرُ أَحْوَالٍ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَبَدٍ حَالَةُ ذِلٍّ وَالتِّرَارِ لِلسَّمَدٍ. He's like, the best state that a believer can be is the state where they're humble before Allah, realizing their need to Allah. That is your best state. Look at the opposite of it. In order to see some things, you have to look at the opposite. What's the opposite of being in a state of need before Allah? It's the state of independence. Like, I don't need your help. That's the worst state ever. Where you feel that I don't need Allah for anything. So he's trying to show us that through that hardship, small hardship, you realize need. And in that need, you reach your best state. Look what he says a bit more. He says, أَلَّا يَرَى حَوْلًا عَلَيْهِ يَعْتَمِدْ أَوْ سَبَبًا سِوَى الرَّحِيمُ الْمُنْفَرِدْ. He's like, in this state, you realize that you have no power to lean upon and no means except Rahim. And that's why it's the best state. Like the Prophet ﷺ leaving Ta'if. Think about the Prophet ﷺ, alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about the Prophet ﷺ. What was his lowest state leaving Ta'if? So real quick, seerah, lesson quick. Prophet ﷺ had left Mecca. He was giving dawah in Ta'if. No one in Mecca was supporting him. All of his support was gone. There wasn't support. He went to the neighboring city, to Ta'if. He's going to give dawah there because he can get some support. He needed backing, right? But he went there. They didn't accept him. In fact, they kicked him out of the city. They stoned him. And he's leaving the city covered in blood. He has nowhere to go forward. He has no way to go back. He has nowhere to go. Where do you go when you have nowhere to go? And he makes a dua. And that, you know what happens next? Isra and Mi'raj. Allah takes him for Isra and Mi'raj, the journey to the heavens. He went to the highest point when he was at his lowest point. So what he's trying to tell us, guys, the blessing is when you realize a hardship is a blessing. When you realize the struggle is a blessing, then you're on a whole different level. And all of what I'm saying, it applies also to dunya as well. Wherever struggle is, that's where gain is. Wherever struggle is, that's where gain is. So what does he say? You know, and the interesting thing, what was his state like? Let's read forward. كَمِثْلِ ذِي ضَلَالِ فِي الْبَيْدَاءِ. He says, like a person who's lost in a desert. Like, you ever been really lost? Like, not now. Now we can, unless you don't got signal. Yeah, you can get lost. Yeah, come on, Abu Bakr. Why you always got to do me like that, yo? Come on, man. Inside joke, man. I love you, man. See, it's funny. We got to have a halakha on that right there. Because when you tell somebody that, they be like, what you mean? Like, not just because I'm me? Inshallah. So he says, your state should be كَمِثْلِ ذِي ضَلَالِ فِي الْبَيْدَاءِ. Like a person who's in the middle of the desert lost. No, you have no idea where you're at. You don't see any help. Who do you call upon and how do you call upon him? ذَا وَحْشَةٍ. Just, you're lost. وَكَغْرِيقِ الْمَاءِ. Or a person just drowning in water. At that point, how are you calling out on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's like, that's your best state. That's your, when you're broken, that's your best state. When you're broken, brothers and sisters, there are moments throughout the week when we feel like the world is crumbling in on us. We feel broken. What I'm trying to tell you right now, those are the best moments for you to get close to Allah. Use those moments to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the worst. He says, وَأَقْبَهُ أَحْوَالِ حَالَةُ نَذَرْ شَخْصٍ لِعِزِّ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ لِلْبَشَرْ. He says, in the worst state, that you can be in mentally, the worst spiritual or mental state, is nadharu shakhsin li'izzi nafsihi. When you see, I can do it all. You see yourself as capable to do everything. I don't need anyone's help. I can do it all. He says, awlil bashar. You remember when the Prophet ﷺ was entering into Mecca, Fatih Mecca? The Prophet ﷺ was at the peak of his career as a prophet, you could say. He just conquered the very people that had subjected him to so much. He is literally like king of Arabia at this point. How does he enter in at that point? With his head down. When he's in hardship, where's his head? When he's in this high place, where's his head? Down. Because if he lets himself get deluded, hear me out. If he lets himself get deluded in that state, that's hard. That's bad for his spiritual heart. You feel me? Stop. If you're going to sit, you got to just chill. Just chill. Okay? وَأَقْبَهُ أَحْوَالِ حَالَةُ النَّذَرِ شَخْصٍ لِعِزِّ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ لِلْبَشَرِ. He says, or لِلْبَشَرِ. Like, you should never feel like all of your ailments or problems can be solved by another person. All of your dependence is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the doctor as well, nashhad, the doctor as well, it's like Allah gives you the ability to heal me. It's Allah first. أَوْ إِسْتِنَادِهِ لِغَيْدٍ قَدَ حَصَلْ أَوْ لِعِلْمٍ أَوْ لِحَالٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. He says, or you're depending on someone else. قَدْ حَصَلْ. Like someone else who's made some money. You distracting the class, yo. You gotta roll. You gotta go, bro. Ain't gonna work. Okay. I got like 6 more lines. Everybody looking at him. Okay. We back? Y'all back? We good? Okay. Bismillah. So what is he trying to explain to us? Again, the best state we're in spiritually. Now here's the deal though. If those hardships come and you lose your connection with Allah, that was a punishment. That was a punishment. I'm going to say that again. If the hardship comes and it breaks you from Allah, that was trouble. So it's all about how we can't change our circumstances, but we can change how we interpret the circumstance. And that's the biggest gift that the deen has, one of the biggest gifts the deen has given us. That you understand that, no, this is a blessing because I'm going to get closer to Allah through this. So, he says, أَوْ إِسْتِنَادِهِ لِغَيْرٍ, or your dependence on someone else. قَدْ حَصَلْ, who has like got some achievements. This happens a lot. Like, we're in a hardship, like, yo, who can I call, yo? Who can I call? Like, there's someone I can reach out to. I know there's somebody, right? But the mind state first should be Allah. That's what he's saying. وَلَوْ لِعِلْمٍ أَوْ لِحَالٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. Maybe because of this person's knowledge or this person's state or their action. But the point is, you should be looking at Allah. He says, وَذُلُّ ذَنْبٍ. Please listen closely to this line. Only a few more lines left, inshallah. وَذُلُّ ذَنْبٍ وَبَلَاءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِزِّ رُشْدٍ وَأَطَاءٍ يَحْسَلُ. He says, the humiliation and the low feeling that you get after having committed a sin, أَفْضَلُ, is better than the arrogance that comes in your heart because of a good deed that you did. That is heavy. That's important. Now we shouldn't, like, don't use that as a justification. Like, I'm good, yo. No. Right? And don't use that, like, yeah. Don't, please keep this in its place. This is for your own heart. He's not trying to tell you to sin. He's trying to show you that your righteous deeds, because they're good, can lead to a positive feeling inside of you, which is negative. You feel me on that one? Like, you just prayed to Hajj, and now you're like, yeah, I'm the man. And in reality, it should be like, ibadah, humble. Ibadah, proud, wrong. Something was wrong there. Now, sometimes a person sins, and as a result, make some room, inshallah, ta'ala. Sometimes a person commits a sin, and as a result of the sin, they feel horrible. They feel like nothing. They feel low. He's like, the humility created in you because of the sin, that humility is better than the arrogance created within you because of the good deed. Now, the solution is not to sin and to not do good deeds. The solution is to rectify how you think and feel after a good deed. Now, all of us will feel better after we do a good deed. But so how do I channel that positive energy? Not a rhetorical question, real question. How do I channel that? Like, I got to Hajj tonight. I'm like, I got to Hajj. What's my response to that? Okay, Allah accept. That's beautiful. Number one, first of all, I don't even know if it's accepted. Why am I all happy? So, well, hold on. That's a heavy one right there. I wasn't even thinking of that. The first thing is, how do I know if it's even accepted? So why are you all happy for it? Why are you proud? You don't even know if it's accepted or not. You hope it is, but it keeps it in check. I was going to say something else, though. What was the other thing? Grateful. That was it. I think we were all saying the same thing. So the point is, if I got tahajjud, if I got fajr and jama'ah, if I got isha, then the first thing I'm saying is alhamdulillah. Because la hawla wa la quwwata. Remember we learned that? Like, I can't do this good deed without Allah's permission. And I can't stay away from the sin without Allah's permission. So again, the way we're checking that arrogance is immediately saying, nah, this wasn't me, it was Allah. And when you show that gratitude, Allah blesses you with more opportunities. But the moment you say, innama utitu ala ilmin indi, oh, it was me. You didn't see what I did? Like, yo, you didn't do nothing. That was Allah's tawfiq to you. Allah's granting that ability to you. So the solution is not to stop the good deed. The solution is, after the good deed is done, I'm going to give you something like, just like a default. I think this rule can work all the time. Anytime you do a good deed, it depends on your level though, but I think everyone here can handle this. Anytime you do a good deed, you feel like, I didn't do enough. I could have did more. But everyone may not be at that level, if you know what I mean. Like, some people may get discouraged. If they're like, I haven't done enough. Oh my God, like, it never ends. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why I hesitated before. But like, let me give an example. You ever had, and sometimes, like, man, I love certain cultures, man. Like, there's certain cultures, like, you'll go to their house, they'll feed you like a king, dessert, you know, kunafa, everything, right? And then they'll be like, oh, we didn't do enough for you. You like, I love y'all, yo. Like, I'm full and you didn't do enough? Like that feeling when they're like, we didn't do enough for you, you're like, yo, you're like an angel. You're like, after all you did, you said you didn't do enough for me? Oh, subhanAllah. That's the mentality we should have. But I know sometimes when we're on our beginning stage, like, you do feel happy that you prayed Isha and Fajr. You're like, yeah, I'm the man today. Like, you feel great, and that's okay. All you got to do is couple that with the alhamdulillah, yo. Like, alhamdulillah, that's it. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Question? Okay. We'll take them at the end. So it's all about here. So he's talking about the inner state that happens as a result of the external. The inner state that happens as a result of the external. What we learned so far is the hardship can have a result where the inner state is your closeness to Allah. And the blessings can have an effect where the inner state is further being moved away from Allah. The external and the inner. So look what he says next. He says, وَفِيهِ ضُعْفُ نَفْسِي وَتَحْقِيرُ وَمَنْ أُوْهَا إِسْيَانَ وَالتَّكْفِيرُ. He says, inside this sin is ضُعْفُ النَّفْس. You realize your weakness. وَالتَّحْقِيرُ. And you realize how low you are. That sin you just did, you're like, astaghfirullah, what did I just do? وَمَنْ أُوْهَا إِسْيَانَ وَالتَّكْفِيرُ. And he says that, and it can also lead to ingratitude. What he's talking about here is the arrogance from the good deed. Like, you're not grateful for the blessing. Takfir means ingratitude. وَفِيهِ إِقْبَالُ النُّفُوسِ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأَجْرُ إِنْ رَضِيَ وَالْمُبَادَرَةِ. He's like, and in this low state that you're in, إقبال النفوس الآخرة. Your nafs wants to go closer to the akhirah. Like, again, go back to dunya. We're talking about when your dunya is really good versus when the external dunya is hard. When the external dunya is hard, he says, إقبال النفس إلى الآخرة. Your nafs is like, I'm tired of this world, I'm looking towards akhirah. والأجر, and looking for reward. إن رضي والمبادرة, and you're just going after it. You're going after it. But he says, إن رضي. This is what we said the whole time. You have to be able to be content in the hardship. In radiyah. If you don't show contentment, that hardship did not bring you closer to Allah. As we said before. So that one word, SubhanAllah, Rahimahullah. In radiyah. He just put that one statement, clarified everything we just said. That the blessing, you have to be content with the blessing. Ridha billah is big, guys. Like, ridha billah means to be pleased with Allah. One of the biggest calamities of our time, and I'm going to tell you this again, we talked about this a long time ago, back when we first started Halakha in the other room. The problem isn't with atheism, the problem these days is with mesotheism. And mesotheism is God hate. It's not that people don't believe in God, it's people hate God. They're not pleased with what God has ordained for them, and thus they build a hatred for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know He's there, they're just angry with Allah. So you have to really be careful that your heart builds a contentment with Allah. And the only way is by what we're studying today. Like, the hardship's coming, you gotta look deeper. You gotta look beyond the hardship and realize that it's a blessing for you. Tayyib, almost done, inshallah. وَطَاعَةُ الْبَاطِنِ وَالسَّفَاءُ أَيْذًا مَا التَّذْكِيرُ وَالشِّفَاءُ. He's like, and these external circumstances that are hard, طاعة الباطن, it creates internal obedience, internal goodness, والصفاء, and internal cleanliness. The external is hard, it's difficult, but the internal is being cleaned. He says, and cured. مع التذكير والشفاء, it's being reminded. Dunya short, akhirah is where we're really going. This is not the real deal. And shifa is cleaning the heart. Two lines left. وطاعة باطنة أفضل من ظاهرة. على الاتفاق لم نمن. He's like, obedience of this, the inner is always better than obedience of the external. What do I mean? Remember when we said you do the good deed, and sometimes as a result of the good deed, now your heart is arrogant before Allah? So you have ta'a, obedience external, that created what? Disobedience internal. Everyone with me on that? And then he said that sometimes you have a sin, which is disobedience external, but it created obedience internal. So what he says here is, وَطَاعَةٌ بَاطِنَةٌ أَفْضَلُ. The inner obedience is always better than the external obedience. That doesn't mean that we commit the sin. It's telling you that the good deed was done to create a state in your heart. Okay, you know what one scholar said? Like, when you do a sajda, the meaning behind a sajda is complete submission and humility. If you do a sajda and you get up and you're arrogant, you've lost the meaning of the prayer. You had the external, but you've lost the inner. And the purpose of it was the inner. لَنْ يَنَالُ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُ تَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The inner is what Allah really wants from you. So he's not trying to say, yo, do all these sins because it will make you a better inner Muslim. Nah, yo, chill out. No. He's trying to say that be careful of good deeds that may create a bad inner state within you. And he's basically teaching us that don't judge things by the external. That's the main thing. Stop judging things by just what it looks like on the external, but rather look at the reality being created inside. Within yourself, don't judge no one else, just ourselves. Last line. لِأَنَّهَا أَثْقَلُ يَا خَلِيلِ. He's like, why is the inner more important? لِأَنَّهَا أَثْقَلُ يَا خَلِيلِ. He says, oh my friend, because it's harder. It's easier to bust out a sajda real quick. It's harder to make my heart humble. It's easy to bust out a sajda. Okay, I just did it. Wow, good. I didn't think about it. What's harder is to create that inner humility. That's harder. So he says, لِأَنَّهَا أَثْقَلُ يَا خَلِيلِ عَلَى النُّفُوسِ نُفُوسِ النَّاسِ لِلْخُمُولِ. It's harder on the nafs of the nafs, لِلْخُمُولِ, because it pushes it down. The nafs doesn't like to be humbled. It doesn't like that. The nafs, though, it likes arrogance, it likes followers, it likes to be on top. It don't like to be low. And this is pushing it down. That's what ibadah does. All right, so that's it for this section. The next section, he starts to talk about, like, people. A lot of us are really controlled by what people around us say and do. Like, we are completely, like, subjugated. Like, whatever people say, that's going to determine what we do. And so he's going to talk about how that is a major, major defect within you. You have to be able to persevere and not care what people say. All right? Because, وَمَا أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Like, the majority of people are not going to be supporting what you're doing. All right? Especially when you choose to start doing righteousness, you're going to get a lot of haters. And unless you can build thick skin, you won't be able to stay on it. So may Allah give us tawfiq. Any questions? Oh, yeah. At-ta'im ash-shakir. If you want to look it up, just Google at-ta'im ash-shakir. That's the hadith about the food one. About the sin thing? No. A lot of scholars have written on that. I haven't come across a specific hadith that says those words. But the meaning is everywhere. The meaning is everywhere. I mean, example, the hadith. Here's an example. It's not exact, but it'll give you the meaning. The Prophet ﷺ said the first three people thrown in Jahannam. Scholar, the rich person who gave money, and the martyr. Like, that good deed they did created a different reality inside of them. I know that one is more like riyadh, though. Yeah. I'd have to think about a hadith. Ibn Atta'illah, yes, Sheikha. Yeah. What? Alhamdulillah, that's why I married her, yo. Don't hate. Okay. Yeah. So that you heard that hadith, right? Like, yeah, subhanAllah. What's so funny? This is deep. But the first one about fasting and stuff, that was, there is a specific hadith about that. Shahir and Akram. Yeah.
What about sins that after you commit them, you feel distance, not because you did it, but you feel like
I'm not worthy.
Yeah. Like,
that is a natural result of sin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you feel like not ahl, like not worthy to go to the masjid or to pray. But that's shaitan. You got to be very careful about that. Like, if someone's sick, they don't run away from the hospital. They go to the hospital. But natural feeling shaitan's going to put in you is, who are you to make dua? Look what you just did. But you got to just ignore that thought. And innal hasanati yudhibna sayyi'at. Good deeds wipe away bad deeds. Remember this. Shaitan loves it because normally one sin just follows the next. The only thing you got to do is break the pattern. If you did a sin, don't think. Just follow it up with a good deed. Just literally. Just go to the masjid for the next prayer. Break the cycle. Right? You will naturally feel that estrangement from your own self. خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Like, it really throws you off. You feel horrible. But you got to fight that. Or else you're just going to get further and further away from Allah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Akram. Yeah.
What about for the one that's like scared to meet Allah? Because they don't know their status with him.
No, that's okay. No, one is, oh, he asked the question. The question was like, basically, we talked about من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاء. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. But what if the person is like scared? Like, I want to meet Allah, but I didn't get my game tight. Like, I'm still like, that's okay. That's the khawfin thing. That's different. Like Umar bin Khattab, like on his deathbed was like, I'm scared. You know what I'm saying? So that's normal. And that's a healthy situation. You should never be like, yeah, I'm good. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm Jannah's mine. But like, no, that's bad. So let's talk. How are we going to balance that? My time is going to be spent investing in the akhirah. Why? Wherever I invest in, that's what I'm going to look forward to. The more I invest here, the more I look for here. The more I invest there, the more I'm looking to go there. So first thing, I'm going to be doing that. The second thing, I'm going to be worried. I don't know if it's accepted, but I'm going to keep doing more because I don't know if it's accepted. Right? And I don't know which action is going to get me that Jannah, so that's why I'm doing more. So I want to go see it. I hope it's there. I just don't know. So I think it's like just two different perspectives. Right? So my fear is more about it being accepted or not. Not that I didn't even like get anything ready for there.
Like, how do you not get discouraged when you don't know if it's accepted or not?
Hope. So listen to this. This is important. There's two things that we really need. And I've given this example multiple times. The rowboat, right? Okay? If you've come, you know my example. Okay? Hope and fear are like the two paddles of a boat. You need both of them to go forward. If, depending on your personal state, you may need more hope to keep going. Or you may need more fear to keep going. It depends on where your state is at that time. Do you understand what I mean? So if you're losing hope, being discouraged, you need to read the hadith about Allah accepting your deeds. The hadith about, you know, one deed Allah will accept, you go to Jannah. All of those things that will give you hope, you need to be like, you need to get that. But if you're on the other side, like the sins are overpowering you, you have no fear, then you need to check that. So yes, it's a balance. You use them to push you psychologically where you need to be. Sometimes you need a friend too that will help you do that. Yep, someone who knows you well enough. Okay, we're almost at 1 hour, so yeah. You always ask me that question, bro. That's a hard one, man. It's a good question. That's why I remember it. He said, how do you know if you have arrogance? Oh, man. So let's define arrogance, okay? What is arrogance according to the hadith? غمت الناس وبطر الحق. That's it. غمت الناس, looking down at people, وبطر الحق, denying the truth. Yeah. So, are you looking down on anyone in this room? Is there anyone right now you feel you're better than? Don't answer the question. You ain't got to tell me that. That's in your heart, all right? That was rhetorical. You have to check yourself. Do you walk in the masjid? Do you walk into work? Do you walk anywhere and feel better than people? That's the first check right there, right? And okay, here's the deal. How do I make myself not feel better than a non-Muslim? Because I don't know how I'm going to die. And I don't know how they're going to die. That person may die in the masjid. And you die somewhere else. So you never judge by this moment right now. You don't know where that person's going to be. Right? How do you make yourself not feel better than someone who's older than you? They spent more years worshiping Allah than me. How do you make yourself not feel better than someone younger than you? They committed less sins than me. Everybody in this room is better than me, right? Based on all that. Another way, how can you really make sure you don't feel? I know what I do wrong, but I only speculate about what you. So how can I let my speculation overpower my true knowledge? You feel me? Like, I know 100% where I'm messed up at. For real, for real. I don't know what... with you, it's speculative. Why would I take speculation and put it over what I know for yaqeen? Can't do it. I'm just giving you a trick so that you can make yourself not feel better than anyone. Right? And that doesn't put you down. It's just about... yeah, it's like I'm not trying to look down on people. That's it. What's the second quality of arrogance? Batar al-haq. You hear the truth and you reject it. Just because you don't want to hear it. And you know what it's like when people get that block on, someone saying the truth that y'all don't want to hear it. No. Like, that's arrogance. You always accept the truth when it comes. Even when the person saying it is like, they don't do it the right way, you're like, yeah, you're speaking the truth. But you're a jerk. You have no manners. You don't got to say it, but. Because sometimes people say the truth without the right, like, intention, or they say it without the right etiquettes. You still got to take the truth because it's truth. And if you're not ready to accept it, you say, yes, you're right. That's it. You just accept it. Accept I'm doing wrong. If someone comes up to me tomorrow, it's like, what you're doing, that's wrong. I'm be like, yo, you're right. Make dua for me, and please, I'm going to try to get better. But I'm not going to deny it because I don't do it. Okay? Great question. Go ahead.
So if we say that hardship has, like, purpose and it can be positive, how do we explain, like, why we try to alleviate?
Oh, because the Prophet taught us to ask for peace in Afia. So what that means, like, there was a man, the Prophet ﷺ came across a man who was, like, on his deathbed. He was very scrawny. He just looked like he was just being consumed by something. And the Prophet's like, what happened to you? Last time I saw you, you looked so good. Did you make some type of dua or something? He's like, yeah, I made a dua. He's like, what dua? He's like, I was like, oh Allah, punish me in this world for my sins. Clean me in this world. And the Prophet said, no, innaka lan tutiq. Like, you can't handle that. Don't make that dua. Walakin nas'alullah afia. Ask Allah for afia. And afia just means a state of peace and tranquility. So we still ask for that tranquility because it's sunnah. And yeah, that, like, so the question, guys, if you didn't hear it, is like, if the hardships are so good, then why do we seek out tranquility? Yeah, that was what we were trying to, yeah. Ata'im al-Shakir is better. Ata'im al-Shakir, when you going to start your halakha, yo? Yo, get on her to start her halakha, yo. You see what she said? Like, the hardship point was only to get some inner quality in you. If you can create that inner quality within you through the blessing, the ni'mah, mashallah. Yes? I'm good, yo. I'm good. I just don't, I don't like people like, yo, last time I was like an hour and a half long. I'm not coming this time. What's your question? I'm sorry, man. Yeah, and you say we don't. We ask Allah for afia.
Yeah.
So we ask Him not for sins either. Go ahead.
No, I said so let's say you have sins. I mean, you're never going to know if you're truly like, forgiven for everything.
You don't, yeah. You seek forgiveness for it. Yeah, you just seeking forgiveness. Tayyib. All right. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Ya Allah, we ask You to accept this gathering, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask You to forgive our sins, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask You to make this a gathering that we increase our knowledge of You, increase our knowledge of Islam, increase our closeness to You, and closeness to Your Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask You to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world, especially our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, any of our Muslim brothers throughout the world and sisters who are struggling, Ya Allah, we ask You, Ya Allah, please make that easy for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask You, Ya Allah, make this gathering of benefit for us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Give us many more gatherings like this, Ya Allah, and let us gather like this on Yawm Al-Qiyamah in Jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair.